from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City. WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg. We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Good evening to you. Glad to see you this evening. A few things to bring to your attention, and yes, I did have to go to the back to get my phone. First of all, if you haven't already, please do sign the Friendship Register, which is the black book at every row of pews. Thank you for doing that. A couple things coming up. The LWMS rally on October 19th. Thai Village Gifts will also be there. We're having that special joint Reformation service on October 27th. That's next Sunday. If you would like to have bars for refreshments after that, there is a sign-up sheet in the back. We are going to be holding our annual trunk or treat October 31st. It does happen to fall on a Thursday, so hey, you know, that Thursday we really get to celebrate the Reformation on that Thursday, but we also are going to have our trunk or treat happening at school this year. If you would like to donate to that or even contribute a trunk, and dress up and hand out candy and help us promote our school, you would certainly be willing to do that. Just please let me know. On Tuesday, the voters got together and extended a divine call to Mr. Ryan Yeager to serve as our principal next year. If that name sounds familiar to you, it probably should, because we actually called him to serve as principal last spring too. At that time, one of the things that he had mentioned was that his current congregation, his current call, was without a pastor, and if they would take the call and come to Baraboo, they would be leaving their congregation without a pastor, without a principal, and without an early childhood director. So it really would have hurt things over there in Two Rivers where they are. Since then, the Lord has blessed St. John's Two Rivers with a pastor, and Ryan seems to be very well equipped with the gifts that we are hoping can serve us well here in Baraboo, and so he was extended the call again now that his circumstances kind of changed. So, he writes, and by the way, he puts in a couple lines about that. He says, "Greetings once again from the eastern part of the state in Two Rivers. Just over 6 months ago, I had the privilege of learning about your ministry in Baraboo. In God's wisdom and through his saints at St. John's on October 15th, you extended me another call to join your ministry and serve as your principal. While not much time has passed since last I spoke with many of you, I look forward to hearing about any changes, updates, and other noteworthy ministry opportunities, challenges, and blessings at St. John's. I ask again for your prayers where the Lord can best use my gifts in his kingdom. With so many teacher and principal vacancies in our synod, I ask that you keep St. John's, both in Baraboo and in Two Rivers, and our synod in your prayers." And he does leave his contact information, and he closes, "Your servant in Christ, Ryan Yeager." So please add him to your prayer list, that God would give him wisdom and clarity and ultimately peace as he makes the decision on where he can best serve his Lord. And of course, we're going to be praying extra hard that that's here in Baraboo. Everything else that's important, do check out the bulletin for. I hope I'm not forgetting anything. And God's blessings on the rest of your week. Good evening. I'll just talk loudly tonight. Not sure what's going on with the sound system. Welcome to St. John's for worship this evening. Special welcome to those who are joining us online. And no matter if you are if you're here presently right now, no matter if you're a longtime member or a first-time visitor, you are asked very kindly yet urgently to please sign the Friendship Register. That is the black book that is found in every row of pews. Thank you for doing that. That helps us to serve you better.
For the past several Sundays, we have been hearing about what we as followers of Jesus are to do. Last week, we heard about setting proper priorities. This week, we hear from God's word that followers of Jesus imitate his selfless service. To guide our worship, we're going to be following setting two that begins on page 172 in the blue hymnal. And we'll begin our worship then with our first hymn, 540, O Jesus So Sweet, O Jesus So Mild.
We invite you to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. St. John's is a member of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod and proclaims the Word of God to a confused and uneasy world. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds and ask the Lord's blessing on our worship today. Pastor Jordan Ertl will bring us the message from God's Word, speaking on the scripture reading. Our congregation will open the service with hymn number 540. O Jesus, so sweet, O Jesus, so mild. Hymn number 540.
Stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness. And so let us confess our sins to the Lord. Holy God, gracious Father, I am sinful by nature and have sinned against you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I deserve your punishment both now and forever. But Jesus, my Savior, paid for my sins with his innocent suffering and death. Trusting in him, I pray, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Our gracious Father in heaven has been merciful to us. He sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
And let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, it is only by your gift of grace that we come into your presence and offer true and faithful service. Grant that our worship on earth may always be pleasing to you, and in the life to come, give us the fulfillment of what you have promised. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The congregation may be seated. Our first reading is recorded in the prophet Isaiah chapter 53, verses 10 through 12. It was 700 years before Jesus, where the prophet Isaiah speaks about the sacrifice, the selfless sacrifice that our Savior would make. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and to allow him to suffer. Because you made his life a guilt offering, he will see offspring. He will prolong his days, and the Lord's gracious plan will succeed in his hand. After his soul experiences anguish, he will see the light of life. He will provide satisfaction. Through their knowledge of him, my just servant will justify the many, for he himself carried their guilt. Therefore, I will give him an allotment among the great, and with the strong he will share the plunder, because he poured out his life to death and he let himself be counted with the rebellious sinners. He himself carried the sin of many, and he intercedes for the rebels. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm for today is Psalm 62b. The music for that can be found in the Gray Psalter book, not the Blue Hymnal, the Gray Psalter book, page 303. Please note that the cantor will sing the refrain first, then the congregation will be invited to join in singing the refrain, and then the cantor is also going to sing each verse, each set of two verses to begin the entire set. So the first two lines the cantor will take, and then the congregation can join in the rest. Our second reading is recorded in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 9, selected verses. Here Paul explains that as a missionary, he had every right to expect that he would be supported in his work by the people he was serving with the gospel. But for the sake of not being a stumbling block and having people think that he was just peddling God's word for profit, he chose not to take anything from anyone, instead supported himself also by working as a tent maker. He did all of that for the sake of serving others. What soldier ever serves at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat some of its fruit? Or who takes care of a flock and does not drink milk from the flock? Am I saying this just from a human point of view? Doesn't the law also say this? Yes, it is written in the law of Moses, "You shall not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain." Is God really concerned about oxen, or does he say this entirely for our sake? Yes, it was written for our sake, because the plowman ought to plow in hope and the thresher ought to thresh in hope of getting a share. If we sowed spiritual seed for your good, is it too much if we reap material benefits from you? If others have some right to make this claim on you, don't we have even more? But we did not use this right. Instead, we endured everything so as not to cause any hindrance for the gospel of Christ. In fact, although I am free from all, I enslaved myself to all so that I might gain many more. To the Jews, I became like a Jew so that I might gain Jews. To those who are under the law, I became like a person under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so that I might gain those who are under the law. To those who are without the law, I became like a person without the law, though I am not without God's law, but am within the law of Christ, so that I might gain those who are without the law. To the weak, I became weak, so that I might gain the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that I may save at least some. And I do everything for the sake of the gospel, so that I may share in it along with others. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the gospel. The gospel according to Mark chapter 10, verses 32 through 35. This will be the basis for the sermon today. They were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was leading them. The disciples were amazed, and others who followed were afraid. He took the 12 aside again and began to tell them what was going to happen to him. "Look, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and experts in the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again." James and John, the sons of Zebedee, approached him and said, "Teacher, we wish that you would do for us whatever we ask." He said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Promise that we may sit one at your right and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink or be baptized with the baptism that I'm going to be baptized with?" "We can," they replied. Jesus told them, "You will drink the cup that I'm going to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I'm going to be baptized with, but to sit at my right hand or at my left is not for me to give. Rather, these places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they were angry with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But that is not the way it is to be among you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you will be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you will be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. The congregation may be seated. We'll sing our hymn of the day in that 737, "Lord, Help Us Walk Your Servant Way."
Oh,
Grace and mercy and peace are yours in abundance from God our Father through our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for our consideration today is the gospel reading, most of it at least, from Mark chapter 10. We're going to start at verses 35 and go through 45. Dear friends, is ambition a dirty word? It can be defined as the desire to be successful or powerful or famous. And maybe that word calls to mind a few examples, like the aspiring executive who wants to climb the company ladder so that he can be the boss, call all the shots, and also take home a nice paycheck while he's at it. But all too often, what does that mean? It means to get to the top, he's going to have to step on a few heads on his way up. Or maybe it calls to mind the rising star politician with a compelling backstory and a healthy dose of eloquence, who wants to hold high office and enjoy all the power and prestige that comes with it. So he maybe takes a kickback or two in favors from some influential big money donors so that they can help pave his way to the top. After all, that's what he cares about, right? Being at the top. Yes, when we hear that word ambition, we think of somebody who doesn't necessarily care about others, who wants the glory, never mind everyone else. You mix in that desire to be successful and powerful or famous, along with a little selfishness, and you get that kind of ambition. And that's why very often ambition, the word itself kind of carries this negative connotation. But as we turn our attention to Mark chapter 10 today, we're going to see actually a good kind of ambition. We're going to see a bad kind of ambition and a good kind of ambition. Jesus is going to show us the recipe for Christian ambition. And it's two parts. Sacrifice mixed together with service. But before we get to that good Christian ambition, we have that bad example of not so good, not Christian ambition. See, Jesus and his followers were making their way to Jerusalem. It's not just Jesus and the 12 disciples. It's Jesus, his 12 disciples, and some other followers of his. They kind of have a crowd thing going. Well, as they're on the way, as we heard in the gospel reading a few minutes ago, Jesus was talking specifically to the 12 about what was going to happen when they got to Jerusalem. He was very explicit about it. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of the chief priests and teachers of the law. They're going to condemn him to death, hand him over to the Gentiles, and they're going to beat him and make him suffer, and they're going to put him to death. And then he's going to rise again. Jesus spoke of sacrifice, not for his own sake, but for the sake of his disciples and every other sinner, you and me included. So it's a pretty sombering thing that Jesus is saying then. And so what happens next with two particular disciples may be a little bit startling. Two of Jesus' closest disciples, James and John, those sons of Zebedee, they approach Jesus with a request that doesn't seem to have much to do with what Jesus just said. It's almost like what Jesus just said, when in one ear and out the other. So they come up to Jesus and say, "Teacher, we're going to ask you something, and we want you to grant us whatever we ask for." Has anybody ever made that kind of request of you? And sorry, it's the phase of life I'm in, but as a parent, Yes, I can think of a time or two where my kids said, Dad, I want to ask you for something. Can you say yes? Yeah, what is it? Right? If somebody says, I'm going to ask you something, you have to say yes. What's your immediate reaction? Yeah, probably not. Because you recognize that if somebody wants you to commit to saying yes before they even ask the question, chances are it's not something you're going to want to say yes to in the first place. But Jesus sees this coming. And so he humors his disciples. Says, ask it. He lets the situation play out. And yes, James and John make their request. Grant that one of us may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. And it's funny because Matthew's account of these events tell us that it was actually James and John's mom who went to Jesus on their behalf. How you like that? Mom, can you go ask Jesus this? Thing is, the disciples, this wasn't the first time that they're jockeying for position, that they're jockeying for prestige. On several occasions, Scripture records them as arguing amongst themselves about which of them is the greatest. So you have this incredible juxtaposition, right? You have Jesus talking about sacrifice and service for the sake of sinners, and you have James and John talking about, hey, we want the top two spots in your kingdom. Wow. Ambitious indeed. And not in a good way. James and John fell into the ambition trap, I guess you could say. And let's be honest. So do we. You ever notice how easy it is to keep track of all the praiseworthy and good things that you do? I mean, that's a lot easier to do, right, than to recognize and to think of and remember all the good and praiseworthy things somebody else does, right? I remember all the good things I do a lot better than I remember the good things that somebody else does. That's a cinch, right? And then at the same time, I also have a knack for noticing and keeping track of the wrongs and the not-so-good things that other people do. Well, I have a really easy time also then forgetting the not-so-good things I do. So if that's the record I got tallying in my mind, I'm keeping track of the good things that I do and I'm keeping track of the bad things that other people do, is it any wonder? Is it any wonder that maybe I find myself thinking sometimes that, yeah, God should probably give me a spot a little bit closer to the front at that heavenly banquet? After all, I deserve it. Yes, I should be recognized as an essential church member. Actually, I should be recognized as the most essential of all, right? Because I'm the guy at the front wearing the robe and the stole and with the microphone, right? I'm most important. Or maybe I'm the most important because I give the most. I volunteer my time the most. I'm not like those other people who they don't come to church very often and they don't give as much in their offering. Yes, I deserve a spot of high honor. At least a higher spot than what's his name, because he's never in Bible class. I deserve a higher spot of honor than whoever that is. Because did you hear the filthy language coming out of his mouth? And that's just me versus the other followers of Jesus within these walls, right? What about those unwashed masses out there, right? Man, am I in such a better spot with God than they are? All those godless heathens, those rebellious ne'er-do-wells. But consider Christ. Dear followers of his, who bear his name, as we claim the mantle Christian. You have James and John, the picture of selfish ambition, in whom I'm really hoping we can see ourselves, our sinful selves. And then you have Jesus, the picture of perfect ambition, making his way to Jerusalem, knowing fully and completely what's going to happen there, but going anyway. Because he's going to go there and suffer not for his own sake, but for the sake of selfish sinners like James and John, like you and me. Jesus' focus isn't on himself. It's on you. Your salvation is his ambition. And his ambition consists of equal parts sacrifice and service. Jesus told his disciples, "You don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink? Can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm going to be baptized with?" And we hear Jesus say that, and we may think, okay, well, what's he exactly talking about? But can you think of another time when Jesus talked about having to drink a cup? Happened after this. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. When he prayed what? "Father, if it is your will, let this cup pass from me." That cup referring to his very soon to be upcoming suffering and death. One day he was going to sit on his throne in glory, absolutely, but not before suffering for the sins of the world, for yours and mine. Yes, the path to glory went right through sacrifice, went right through giving oneself for the sake of another. So if we are going to follow Jesus, then sacrifice is our path. Jesus said to James and John, you will drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism I'm going to be baptized with. Several weeks ago, we heard Jesus tell his followers, if you want to come after me, what do you have to do? You have to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow him. You know that cross, that instrument of torturous execution? How fun does that sound? Taking one of those up. So does this mean if we suffer enough that we get to have the best seats in heaven? Is that what this means? Okay, well then I guess I'll have to buck up, buttercup. No, because if I still have my eyes on those best seats in heaven for me, what do I still got going on? Some selfish ambition. The places of honor in heaven belong to the ones that God has graciously given them to, and we don't know who they are. We'll find out one day. So why follow Jesus then? Dear Christians, it's not because of what we might get, but it's in response to what we have already been given. God's free gift of salvation in Christ. We follow Jesus because his love for fallen sinners is so great that he endured the punishment for sin in our place. Christian ambition is to look at the cross of Christ, to see his unbridled love for sinners like you and me, and then to respond to that love by saying, "Lord, where you go, I will follow." Christian ambition means to follow Christ, even if it means sacrifice combined with some service. The other disciples catch wind, right? They catch wind of James and John's request, and they're not happy about it. Didn't sit well with them. Why not? Well, because they too fell into the trap of selfish ambition. If James and John are occupying the top two spots, well, the top two spots are taken. Where are they going to sit then? So that we got this whole mess of selfish ambition going on among the 12. And so Jesus kind of sets them all straight at once. And he says, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. And their high officials exercise authority over them. But it's not to be that way with you, my followers. You're not supposed to be jockeying for position. You're not supposed to be competing for power. No, it's actually supposed to be the opposite way. Whoever wants to be great among you has to be a servant. Whoever wants to be first, you get to be the slave of everybody. Worldly selfish ambition seeks position over others. Christ-like ambition seeks position under others. Serving them, not for one's own glory and honor, but for the benefit of another. So what does this mean for you and me? It means that we set ourselves on the path of service. It's service in the home where husbands and wives serve one another in love and build each other up for each other's sake. Not buttering up my sweetheart because I want to ask her for something later. It's service in the workplace where workers seek to help and be an asset to one another rather than be each other's competition. It's service at school where students strive to learn under their teachers, making their work a joy rather than viewing their teachers as tyrants and having their teachers view their students as troublemakers. It's service to those who need help. Not because others will then think more highly of us, but just because somebody needs help and I have the means to help them, I'm going to do it. Because it's going to help them. Period. It's service in the church, not sitting on our hands, convincing ourselves that we don't have the time or the energy for it, or assuming that somebody else is going to do it, but using the gifts and the abilities and the time and the talents and the treasures that God has given us to work together so that we can spread the gospel in ways that we can't if we're all by ourselves. It's service to people outside of our walls, which means not looking at them as the unwashed masses and the godless heathens, but as souls for whom the Lord Jesus paid the exact same price that he paid for you and me. His suffering and death on the cross, it was for them too. It's parting with a portion of my income that God has given me in the first place, so that I can give it to help support the work that we do as a congregation together. So that the work that we do as a congregation can be not just adequately supported or barely enough supported, but abundantly supported. That is God-pleasing ambition. That is Christian ambition. But this sacrifice and service is also a taxing endeavor. It takes time. It takes energy. Sometimes we don't even get to see a return on the sweat equity that we put in. It can be thankless. It very often is beneath the notice of others. More often than not, service and sacrifice go hand in hand with the Christian life. Don't let that squash your Christian ambition. Why not? Jesus said, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Yes, when we find ourselves short on time to give, when our tanks are running on empty, when our labors don't seem to be bearing any fruit, when the thanks do not come and our work is simply taken as a given, we once again look to the reason for our service in the first place. We look to Jesus. The fact that he suffered, that he died, that he rose, and eternal salvation is mine and yours because of it. It's sacrifice mixed with service. And oh, how it benefits us. That Christ, Ian, that Christian ambition is our salvation, our motivation, and our model. So let's mix up a big old batch of it and put it into action. Amen. Please stand. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's join together to confess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The congregation may be seated. And we pray. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you for reconciling us to yourself through the suffering and death of your dear Son. And through him, we have confidence to enter into your presence and to bring you our prayers. Out of the infinite bounty of your goodness, grant us a rich measure of your Spirit. Let the love of Christ fill your church so that it may flourish in Christian ambition, in sacrificial service, in all good works. Help us to show love and compassion for all who are in need. Bestow on the nations of the earth the knowledge of your mercy that they may turn to you and find salvation. Strengthen our faith so that we unfailingly come to you in prayer for all our bodily needs. Give a special measure of your power to those who are sorrowful or suffering, to those who are in pain or sickness, to those who may be in temptation or peril, that they may receive your help. And help us patiently endure any afflictions you permit to come into our lives, knowing that you are using them in love to prepare us for that joyful communion with you, which is ours for all eternity. And hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private prayers. Accept these prayers, answer them in accordance with your will, and provide for all our needs, not because we are worthy, but for the sake of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. A reminder, if you brought an offering with you this morning and you haven't done so already, please do leave that in the alms box in the back. And with that, we will continue with the sacrament. Would the congregation please stand? Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord. Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who promised that wherever two or three come together in his name, there he is with them to shepherd his flock until he comes again in glory. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. God, you are worthy to receive thanks and praise from all people. You created the world and all who live in it, and in your mercy you saved us. We give you thanks. We give thanks to you for the grace of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Though in very nature God, he took the nature of a servant and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. He offered himself as a sacrifice for sin and redeemed us from its curse and penalty. He rescued us from the terrors of death and restored eternal life with you. He conquered our enemies and gained for us the kingdom of grace and glory. Bless us as we receive your Son's body and blood, and lead us to remember his suffering, death, and resurrection. Forgive our sins and fill us with the new hope, with the hope of new life in heaven. Hear our praise and receive our thanks as we worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And we join to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." And may the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. To commune and confirm members of St. John's and our sister Wells and ELS churches, please come forward at the direction of the ushers.
This worship hour was brought to you by St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church of Baraboo, Wisconsin. It comes to you at 10 a.m. each Sunday morning on radio station 99.7 Max FM, Baraboo, or streaming online at 99.7maxfm.com. We invite you to worship with us again next Sunday at the same time. The cable television rebroadcast of this service will be shown at noon today on Baraboo Cable Channel 10 and TV 43. You may also listen to the sermon podcast on St. John's Lutheran Church and School's Facebook page at 9 a.m. on Sunday. This broadcast was made possible by your contributions to the Media Ministry Fund. We thank you. Your letters and comments addressed to St. John's Lutheran Church, 624 East Street, of Baraboo will be appreciated. The television producer today is Jed Strobel, and this is Cindy Allen. May God bless you and lead you to a stronger relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. We encourage you to live for Him who died for you.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org. WRPQ Baraboo, W279 EG Reedsburg.